The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
How did Scrooge win the football game? This is good.
How?
The ghost of Christmas past.
Nau mai, haere mai, tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome to SuperPod 2023, the annual gathering of the greatest and the best and the most handsome podcasters from across the Spinoff Podcast Network. We have chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We have Christmas crackers. We have Santa halfway down the chute. And let's go around and talk to each other a little bit, shall we, to say hello, first of all, around the circle. Everyone is dressed. For those of you who are listening rather than watching this, we're all dressed in elaborate costume. With Sam right here next to me is dressed as Father Christmas. Annabelle is dressed as a massive bauble. Simon Pound is dressed as an emerging startup business. And Bernard Hickey is dressed as a housing market with a bit tacked on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ben Thomas couldn't be with us today. He was a late scratch, owing to being a bit useless at organising himself. And we've empty chaired him with a stool, with a road cone and a can of Mountain Dew. So we'll be thinking of you, Ben. Let's go around and just say hello. Kia ora, good day. Starting with you, Sam.
Kia ora, Toby. How are you doing today? You feeling merry?
Yes, I'm very merry. Thank you. Te Ahe Butler, how are you?
Tēnā koe, Toby. Ka pai. Ka pai ahu.
Annabelle Lee Mather.
Kia ora. Morena.
Nice to see you. Jane Yee.
Kia ora. Merry Christmas.
I probably should have said you should tell us what you do, but we'll do that next time we go around. Yeah. Let's just pretend that this was the intention all along. Simon Pound.
Morena. Merry Christmas.
Nice to see you. Alex Casey.
Hi, Toby.
All the way from the South Island.
Oh, that's very exciting. Do we get to do these crackers or is that for another
Yeah,
round?
I don't know. I wondered about the crackers. I think sometimes it's one of those things that works better in the room than for the listener experience. Okay. So, but maybe people should just from time to time pull them when someone is going on a bit. And you just want to, and then read a joke. Sometimes the jokes are good. Sometimes, you know, after about three or four, it becomes a bit tiresome. I don't know, this is probably a conversation we should have had before.
No, I think it's good.
Here we are.
This should be what it's about. It's pre-production on the pod. It's what we do.
Okay. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
You good?
I'm fantastic.
You've come all the way from Waiheke Island.
Yeah. It's great to see real people and people I haven't seen for a while. It's great. And this sort of working from home, remote working style, for two or three years, I basically haven't seen many people, so it's great to see other humans in the flesh.
Amazing. Duncan Grieve, you're also here. Well done.
Morning, Toby. Yes, I am. I'm backing up from a Christmas party last night, so apologies in advance for my performance.
Okay. What we thought we'd do this year is ask everybody to deliver us a word. It's very on fleek, is that what they say? So the kids say that's probably word of the year, word of the year 1995.
There's mine gone.
Pick that one out. But lots of people are doing more and more. There are words of the year. We talked about that on Gone by Lunchtime, and the Riz was the word of the year for, I think, Cambridge. Macmillan had authenticity, which was weird. The Economist, I think, had ChatGPT, which seems quite sort of unimaginative. Others had AI-related ones. Anyway, so given everyone's doing that, I thought we would do it too, for lack of an imagination to do anything original. So let's go round and give us a word of the year that may relate to your particular pod Subject may relate to your life, may relate to anything at all you like. Starting with Sam Robinson.
Hi.
You've been up all night working on a word.
I've been panicking for several hours about what my word of the year will be, and I've come up with something pretty mediocre. I don't have a podcast, so it was kind of hard for me to, like, I'm just a producer here at Spinoff Podcast.
Oh, no, you have many podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I have all of the podcasts, like Infinity Stones. But my kind of area of expertise, I guess, is maybe pop music, and I think... this year in pop music, we saw a huge rise in a star in the making called Ice Spice. And my word of the year is munch. It's the year of the munch.
Sorry, how did you get from Ice Spice to munch?
Ice Spice, that's like a catchphrase.
Oh, okay.
It's like a catchphrase. A munch is someone who, like, is just obsessed with women. Like, it just, you will do anything. It's referring to munching. Yep. I'm not going to finish that sentence. Annabelle?
Toby, I was hoping you're going to ask me how I was feeling this morning when you did the first round, but you didn't. And what I wanted to say is I'm seething with rage.
Seething?
Seething, because I'm the only member of the Gone By Lunchtime team who wasn't invited to the press gallery drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Just putting that out there. You're all on notice.
Yeah.
My kupu is, because I'm more woke than no-dos nowadays, is pōtaka tō wene wene, which in Māori is a spinning top and describes how you feel when you're a bit dazed and confused and spun out by recent events, which I think probably most of Aotearoa is.
Yes. Speaking of spinning tops, Sam, you skipped past Te Ahe Butler, who...
I'm hidden back here.
you're not mic'd up.
I do have a little mic.
What's your word?
My word for the year, which is, I think, appropriately building on Annabelle's kupu, is Colonesian.
Colonesian,
wow. Which I learned recently to be a portmanteau of colonised Polynesian. Mm-hmm. For example, Brian Tamaki, Winston Peters, David Seymour, Polynesians who are so thoroughly colonised and their mindset is so kind of munted by the New Zealand experience that they have they've forgotten their tipuna, they've forgotten their whakapapa.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank
great
you.
Word.
Jane Yee.
I don't know what my word means. It's nothing to do with my podcast subject, which is generally pop culture and reality. Oh, I suppose it falls under pop culture. It falls under pop culture, but it comes from my children and YouTube. And the word is skibbity.
Skibbity. Could you spell that, please?
Can I what?
Spell it.
Well, there's two different versions, one ending with a Y and one ending with a I,
okay,
much like the Tonys good. Of this world. SKIBBIDI/Y.
Okay.
Often followed by the word toilet, skibbity toilet or skibbity bop. And it's just a word I hear a lot. And I've.
Scatting.
In every sense of the word.
Wow. It sounds like someone just turned on a Spotify playlist.
I've Googled like the good Gen Xer I am to try and figure out what it is. And there's no real consensus on what it means, but it's some sort of meme situation that the kids do. Full stop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Skibbity meme.
Skibbity meme. Yeah. It's a meme.
Samuel's face right now. Listeners.
It sounds like it came from like the 1930s.
You know it, but what does it mean?
Skibbity toilet is a Gen Alpha meme. So it's the generation after me. They're coming quick, guys. You better beware.
I want to be gone by then.
It's like a series of YouTube short videos about a toilet with a head in it that fights humanoid TV people and camera people. It's awful.
It's nonsense. But what
does
letting
your
word...
kids watch on the internet?
Anything they bloody well like. Anything that stops them bothering me for snacks, basically. We still don't know what the word means, but, you know, we must move on or someone's going to crack a cracker.
Amazing. Simon Pound.
The word of the year for me has really been a reaction word every time I've opened anything to do with the news. And unfortunately, it's not very high buzz, but the word is bleak. So, you know, like not wanting to be a downer buzz, but, you know, you really feel that there's this kind of last gasp reactionary kind of vibe of the boomers getting theirs and you just have to hope it dies out. But the counterpoint to that is going to like the prize giving at our kids' school and seeing that the future's looking good, but we've got a couple more years of opening the news and going, bleak.
Yeah, we've got skibbity toilet to come.
We're definitely being punished by the universe for that time that David Bowie died and we said this is the worst year ever. Alex Casey, lift us up.
Can I start with an apology?
Yes.
This word is vulgar and it might be two words. So just to background this, it's adjacent. From The Real Pod, you know, we spent the year discussing the big pop culture moments, the things that brought us together and hopefully made us laugh and gave us some levity. So my word is cumbox.
One word.
Sounds amazing.
Thank you. One word. We did have a big style discussion at the spinoff about how we were going to spell that, if we're going with the U or the O and if it was one word or two. But shout out to Kanoa Lloyd for giving us like this amazing moment towards the end of the year when everything felt like hell. And also I think a testament to the power of live television. We've lost both the project live studio audience and What Now's live studio audience. Mm. Don't imagine they get a lot of cumbox moments on What Now. But still.
I hope not.
Something we've lost in 2023.
Thank you, Alex Casey. Boone Hickey.
Yeah, well, mine's a bit in tune with Bleak. Retreat. Because everywhere I look, things are retreating. So people from houses, policies, all sorts of culture going backwards. And I spend quite a bit of time thinking about climate change. For me, this year was every morning getting up and looking at these charts showing the hottest temperature ever, the least ice cover ever. And Gabrielle as this shocking event that we all thought at the time would change the debate to one be all about climate change. And then we had an election and no one seemed to care. In fact, we had one of the leaders' debates where it wasn't even mentioned at all.
Yeah.
And so retreat because just quietly when I talk to all sorts of people in banking and insurance, they have hunted looks whenever I talk about retreat, and the phrase they often use is, I just want to retire first before everyone works it out.
Wow.
All right, well, I think... Does anybody have any hard liquor? What was the question, Annabelle? So we couldn't hear you over the gallows laughter.
I was just going to say maybe moist would have been an alternative.
Duncan Grieve, can you please lift the mood?
I really can't. I'm so sorry. I was like thinking that I just kind of radically misjudged the like general vibe of Superpod as I sat down and everyone was laughing. I was like, why are you laughing? All of the stuff is bad. And then, but anyway, I'm stuck with the horse I rode in on. My word of the year is existential. And I'd sort of been, I was like, I kind of had this feeling like I'd been reading it more and more. So I sort of just searched my inbox and like every media newsletter I get, which is too many, is just, it's escalating. And it feels like there's the media, which is what I cover on The Fold, is being caught in this kind of pincer movement between the rise of generative AI on one side and the kind of the increasing hostility towards news of social media platforms on the other. And I just kind of keep having this thought rattle around in my head that anywhere which wants to try and figure out whether something's true before they publish it versus and or wants to pay people to make a thing, how can you ever win in a battle against people who have zero cost of content and doesn't matter whether it's true? And there's this quote that I just can't stop thinking about from this guy Benedict Evans, who is like a former VC turned tech analyst and who's generally quite pro-technology, but he was writing about social media saying, it's worth asking whether a real-time feed of strangers posting things that might or might not be true was ever a really good idea. And that's the world we live in.
Late now.
Yeah, I know. And I think all of that adds up to what is genuinely a kind of existential threat to the media that we sort of know and tolerate.
And it has real-world effects. I was in that press conference at the end of the year where Winston Peters pointed at Tover O'Brien and said, you lost.
You are now spoiling my villain of the year.
Oh, sorry.
Well, my word of the year is bonfire, because from a political standpoint, that was, we had the year bookended by bonfires, if indeed they didn't meet in the middle in a way, because Chris Hipkins began the year saying, I'm going to chuck a whole lot of my government's program. And Christopher Luxon said, well, I'm going to chuck even more of your government's program. And that was in large part the kind of election year we had, which, again, isn't something to necessarily send the spirits soaring. I guess the only good thing is that sometimes you can toast a marshmallow on a bonfire, can't you? So if I'm looking for desperately for something to lift us up, let's move swiftly then on, ladies and gentlemen, to heroes and villains. I think, what should we do? Should we do villains first? Otherwise, we're going to end in a very, as you say, existential mood. Duncan Grieve, do you want to go first on this one? Can we have a villain? Can we do villains and then heroes? Is that all right? Is that allowed? Any objections? Good.
So, as I just alluded to, Bernard picked up on it.
Your villain is now Bernard.
Yeah, that's true. That's a late. Winston Peters is a late scratch, and Bernard has valiantly stepped into the breach.
He does go on a bit. Better, doesn't he? What about changing some of your newsletters and including like property of the week? You know, lovely three Betty with a little pool. And, you know, I mean, maybe put some of your skills to positive use in that way.
Yeah, no. Millionaire of the week.
That'd be too many to choose from, I think, from property point of view. Duncan.
It is connected to that sort of word of the year, in that you've got like a news media that's kind of quite fried. You know, we had it was kind of bookended by the collapse of Today FM at one end, and then the end of the project in a more controlled detonation at the other. And it, you know, generally in this country, we try and think about not kicking the shit out of someone when they're down. And I think that Winston Peters coming in on day one with a "you lost" and calling the PIJF a bribe, when you already have like a basically an industry that's not feeling great and is economically pretty unviable. You know, I heard that like basically broadcast, the net profit for the whole of broadcast television this year is zero. And the, you know, like you've got this sort of situation where a lot of people are mistrustful of the media, and you've got your deputy prime minister basically saying, you know, you're the opposition, and you're just like, well, thanks. That's going to go great. I appreciate it. That's my vill.
Bernie.
Villain of the year is also my hero of the year, but Adrian Orr, because he's only just, well, the bank has only just acknowledged that the decision to take off the loan-to-value ratio controls during the COVID lockdowns caused an explosion in house prices, which is 3 years too late. And also from the new government's point of view, he's the villain, and they would quite like to get rid of him. But they can't easily, and they're going to have to deal with him. And at some point, he's going to try to bring in a whole bunch of new controls next year, which could easily turn into a really big fight. And he's the villain, although as we come around again, I'll call him a hero as well.
Stand by for that, folks. Alex.
Okay, well, I was thinking about reality TV, and villain is a strong word for this. It's just a bugbear of mine of this year, is celebrities infiltrating reality formats that they don't have to. Like, we have Dancing with the Stars, we have Celebrity Treasure Island. We didn't need celebrities on The Traitors. I wish that had just been a pure New Zealand normie cast.
Yeah.
I feel like it really threw off the dynamic of the show, and I just wish we would back our people. You know, we don't always need Brooke Howard-Smith on the show to make it successful.
You want more normies.
I want more normies.
Like
and
the
I think,
old days. Yeah.
You know, fans versus faves. I would have just loved the fans, you know. I would just want to see. We've always worked on this, like, thesis that reality TV is a great place to kind of show New Zealanders.
Yes.
And we've just had like a run of like a lot of the same people
right.
for quite a long time now. So that's my villain is a strong word, but I guess producers. Reality TV.
So you need new stars, right?
We need new stars. That's the thing. We're really scraping the barrel now.
It just becomes round and round in circles, doesn't it?
Yeah. So my hope for next year is that reality TV gets back to the normies.
Okay. Yeah, good. Simon Pound.
The villain for this year is anyone involved in rolling back the smoke-free idea. Like, absolutely bananas. Like, who could have guessed that that would have been part of what the new government was bringing in and what you'd want to be doing there? And it's like such a symbol of hope for the future being turned back for some short-term, really cynical, financially led but harmful to people things. And the fact that they could all stand up there with a straight face and say, yep, we're doing this. We're doing it for tax so we can give landlords tax cuts. It's like, it's so far beyond the pale. It's unbelievable.
Literally, we are going to kill thousands of people so that tax cuts can be delivered faster to landlords. And we're being upfront about it. Here's what we're doing.
That's like pure villainy. And it reminds me of, I think Philip Morris got in trouble when they did a report for Romania or something saying you should allow unfettered smoking in your country because it'll kill people earlier and still have less of a pension obligation and less health care costs. And it came out and they got in big trouble for it. But yeah, when we're not able to raise our pension because of political things, they've just come around the back and like found a new way to lower our pension costs. Unbelievable.
It's bleak, it's existential.
Yeah, get it's me for your Christmas party vibes.
Jenny Jane, yeah.
Cool to follow that one. My villain is extremely low stakes compared to what's preceded. Brooke Howard-Smith on Traders.
I knew he'd get two mentions. I love this.
He was it's kind of a compliment. I mean, I really stuck in my lane in terms of our pod content for this one. And it's really a compliment because he played the part for most of the season as a traitor. So he was supposed to be villainous. He did quite a good job and he effed over some very lovely people, including a couple of kind of normie adjacent folks. he was a bit of a jerk sometimes, but, you know, he was following the format, so I guess that's fine. But he was probably my least liked appearance on the telly, but without him, that show wouldn't have been as good. So a very watered down, low stakes villain from me. But just nice to be able to say Brooke Howard-Smith.
Yeah.
He subscribed to our Substack as well for a bit there, and as soon as he got booted out of the show, unsubscribed.
Villain.
There's so many villains and I would hate to miss any out. So yeah. I'm going to go for a more generic approach and say that this year has been fucking awful for Indigenous people all around the world, but particularly in Palestine. Also terrible for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia with the defeated voice to Parliament, and not really great here. So I think the ultimate villain is colonisation, imperialism, fossil fuel industry. Special shout out to Benjamin Netanyahu and others.
Thanks, Annabelle. Do I hear?
Simon Bridges is my villain.
Oh.
And it's because not anything that he did politically, although speaking of Polynesians, he recorded his podcast in here earlier this year. Perfectly fine podcast. Every time he recorded it, he wanted a hot water. And I just think that's a villainous drink.
That absolutely is. The only people who are allowed to order hot water are people in retirement homes.
Mm.
From staff.
I'd like to also say pregnant women as well. Oh. Sometimes if they're not, wanting hot drink but not caffeine. No.
Toby's declining that request.
Lady in the corner, shush.
Simon Bridges is neither of those things.
Simon Bridges.
Great stuff, I guess.
Sam.
Hey. My villain, keeping on the pop music side of things, she didn't really, I don't think, really got achieved villain status until about a week ago when she dropped her new album. My villain is Nicki Minaj. That album was god-awful, one of the worst things I've heard. It's not bad enough that her boyfriend's a weird felon creep, or that her cousin got inflated testicles from the COVID vaccine. That album really did it for me. It's filled with the worst samples, like Blondie's Heart of Glass just sped up and it's just her rapping over it. It's garbage.
Controversial.
Nah, Nicki fell off. Diva down.
Agree.
What a mixed bag.
My villain of the year is Winston Peters and New Zealand First Party for going to the well, going to that well where they made a decision to hollow down the well, which is actually a rabbit hole, and appeal to that group of people. I've always had mixed feelings about the kind of New Zealand First approach, insofar as I think sometimes it's been a useful valve in our MMP system to represent groups of people who aren't represented otherwise, and sometimes those things can turn into phenomena like Brexit or Trump or whatever if people don't feel represented. I think it's good for people to feel represented. I like that. But I also think there's a cynicism on the part of particular politicians, which
Made the difference because that 1 or 2% which came across from the cooker parties,
yeah.
there was a deliberate decision to send it to Winston, and that got him over the line.
Mm. Oh, yeah, and I think he's acknowledged that, you know, as I've written a couple of times, the first interview he gave on the night of the election upstairs at the Duke of Marlborough Hotel was to Cameron Slater and Reality Check Radio, which is the Voices for Freedom.
I was up at the hotel, and Cameron Slater felt like he was in the camp.
Yeah.
Like he was wandering around with him, kind of telling him which interviews to do in what order.
Actually, he's my hero of the year, Cameron Slater. No, not this year. Maybe next year.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
My hero of the year, because it's an election year, is Christopher Luxon, the National Party, for winning the election. Two reasons. One is simply because when you look back at where they were at the last election, to come to pull things together and get into position to win, albeit imperfectly and not in a win as they might have, the form of win they might have liked. And the second reason is because they correctly predicted, Christopher Luxon, Chris Bishop and John Key and others correctly predicted that the three-headed hydra would be a nightmare, and that they that people should not vote for New Zealand First because it'd be a disaster. They said this could be terrible. They warned everyone, and in a way, they were right. So that's the two reasons there. My hero, Sam.
I'm doing pop music again.
Good for
me. Best. I'm basing my villain and hero off of like best and worst album of the year. So. Best album of the year for me was Caroline Polachek's Desire I Want to Turn Into You. It's just a wreck. Thank you, Duncan. Thank you, singular clap in the room that he's now visibly regretting on his face.
No, I'm thrilled.
Really good album.
Great album.
Oh, okay.
Bunny was a...
What's it called? Bunny is a rider.
Bunny is a rider, that's what it is.
I like a rider. Caroline actually just performed last week in Australia, so she's kind of my villain.
For not coming here.
Yeah, for not jumping the ditch. My villain is also my bank account for not allowing me to jump the ditch to go see Caroline.
You've already done a bunch of villains. You're on heroes.
Yeah, I've got a lot of hate in my heart to give, Toby.
I hear. Heroes? Villains?
Heroes.
There was a wahine came in earlier this year named Kelsey Waghorn, who was one of the surviving tour guides from Whakaari White Island. And I recorded an interview with her on a partner podcast. And she was amazing. She's on the documentary on Netflix. She's my hero for the year. It was fucking crazy.
Kia ora. Annabelle.
At the risk of sounding annoying, I'm going to say the health workers in Gaza would be my picks for absolute, like, true heroism, those guys. And then my second choice, obviously, would be Brooke Howard-Smith.
I love it. Skibbity Jane.
Skibbity Jane. My hero, again, pretty low stakes, but well within the brief, is Blair Strang, who was Rangi on Shortland Street. He appeared from the, I don't know, his little law office. He's been a lawyer for some time to appear on Celebrity Treasure Island, and came on looking like a complete fish out of water. Overtook as just this new shining, amazing personality on the show, but the best part is he played a power move. That I think no one else on the cast would have played. And that was, there was a challenge where two of the cast members had a really awful endurance elimination challenge. And Jordan Vandermeer lost. He was the he was causing a bit of tension in his team. He had been the captain, but no one really wanted to see anyone go at the end of that elimination. And they had a mercy card. Their team had a mercy card, which was played by then captain Eli Mathewson. He played it so that Jordan could remain in the game. And then Blair Strang stood up and played a block. And he blocked that mercy card. Jordan thought he was safe, and then he was going home after all. And it was just really good reality television and a power move that you have to be really brave to do. And I just want to salute you, Blair.
Plus, Blair Strang's a bit of a zaddy.
He's a zaddy. That would have been a great word of the year, actually. Zaddy was a word that they used a lot on Treasure Island this year to describe Blair Strang.
Simon Pound.
I saw a thing that Donald Glover said in an interview this year that was he went back to a farm and tried to like fix up this little farm because he was feeling so overwhelmed with the world and everything was awful. Yeah. And he said, I got sick of people saying everything's terrible. And he's like, it's like traffic. You can't say I'm stuck in traffic. You are traffic. If the world's horrible, make the world nicer. So he went back to this farm and tried to make his own little world a little bit better. And that really stuck with me this year and just thought about that heaps. And so, yeah, my hero of the year are all the people who in business or in life or in community or in schools, you know, are making the world a little bit better because it's easy to get overwhelmed with kind of general awfulness. But if you put all that energy into like just making the things in your remit a bit better, then the world gets better. So, yeah, Donald Glover, interesting philosopher. Huh. But, yeah, really stuck with me.
It's like you're sending a stern rebuke to Simon Pound of 15 minutes ago, who used the word bleak to describe.
That's the thing. That's the opposite to bleak is you've got to, like, make something better. You can't just wallow in it.
Good. All right, good. You do that now, Alex.
I have two. Is that okay?
Heroes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, again, through the lens of popular culture, local popular culture, my first is Robin Malcolm. Because... two massive local shows this year. Far North, earlier in the year, which saw Robin and Tim reunite for the first time since Shorten Street in the 90s. But just after the party was just the most outstanding television I have seen in such a long time from this country, maybe ever. And I just thought the performance, the writing, everything was amazing. But also, you know, to speak to our reality TV background, I spend a lot of time watching Love Island, Selling Sunset, The Kardashians, and it's so amazing to see a woman with a human face on TV. So shout out to Robin Malcolm. My other hero is actually our own Jane Yee. Because if you can believe it, you were a reality star this year. It feels like 10,000 years ago, but Fans versus Faves aired earlier in the year. And you represented the Spinoff Podcast Network with grace. And you were robbed by the wind. We can
I was robbed by the wind. The gentlest of breezes. Yeah. Still dark on that.
Blink. Oh, captain, my captain.
And we also said farewell to the Real Pod recently in a very cool live stream. And very sorry to see it go. The trailblazer of the Spinoff Podcast Network. Now it's, you know.
An arch rival of Gone by Lunchtime.
We're just bringing it.
Yeah, you guys, you won.
What did we win?
We won.
What?
Well, the war.
Survivor. Great. Yeah, well done.
Survivor Spinoff.
Your podcast also is going strong, Bernard. Have you had a good time on When the Facts Change this year?
Yeah. No, I've learnt a lot and found a whole bunch of people that I had no idea existed and are doing amazing things.
Yeah.
The cherry farmer who's electrified his entire business and wants to use those lessons to do it for the whole country. The Australian tech guy who managed to somehow wangle his way into the White House and change the world with the Inflation Reduction Act. A whole bunch of people doing fascinating things around climate change and electrification and but also the last one I did with Andrew Waugh, the public health researcher who called bullshit from on high with authority on the smoke-free changes to show that we're talking about millions of quality-adjusted life years lost when you get into the health economics of it because of this awful reversion, this... It really was the signature progressive policy that makes sense and that everyone wants being reversed for no good reason other than Winston Peters and smoking.
Act was against it. What about the, not to go too long on this, but what about the argument that prohibition doesn't work? It's never worked, and introducing prohibition on tobacco is just going to create a black market.
That's another good argument for saying we should remove prohibition on marijuana.
But prohibition
does work. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people who are alive today because we banned the sale of cigarettes to kids and we make it slightly difficult and really expensive. This is the classic case for a Treaty of Waitangi claim, what this government is doing. It is going out of its way to kill more people from one group than another. Sorry, that wasn't a lot of fun, was it?
You had a hero? I led you down that path.
Up the wire. Andrew Waugh. Yeah.
Or is that your hero?
My hero was also my villain, which is Adrian Orr.
Oh, that's right.
Because he is in a monetary and prudential policy sense, giving the middle finger to the new government and doing it in their backyard by making the Reserve Bank Te Pūtea Matua and saying out loud his major challenge is climate change and that it's the thing he and the bank should focus on when the new government is saying this is woke bullshit and all he should do is focus on inflation. And he's going back at them and saying no, and here's why. Mm. And I'm staying in this job for the next 4 years. You'll have to lever me out with a crowbar. Mm. And that's sort of fun to watch.
That promises something entertaining in 2024. And Duncan Grieve, did you have your thunder stolen for Bailiff's case?
I did, yeah, I did. But I can sort of...
Or you're in lockstep.
Yeah, I mean, I thought After the Party was extraordinary, and it sort of recalled to me, in 2016 I wrote a really, really profoundly bad review of an awful show called Filthy Rich, and a bunch of TV writers got in touch with me, and one of them said this quote, which has sort of stuck with me, about why New Zealand dramas were quite profoundly mediocre for a while, and they were... You'd go to the commissioner and you'd pitch them your awesome show and they'd sort of say, and they use this metaphor of a size 9 brown shoe and because that's what they were looking for. And they're like, actually, that's crazy. I actually happen to have been working on a size 9 brown shoe. And you'd just whip out your show and you'd make the show that they wanted. And we were always told for years that New Zealand needed broad shows that were sort of appealing to everyone but kind of not appealing to anyone at the same time. And After the Party, which is a show about a maybe paedophile being sort of chased by...
Don't know spoilers, I'm up to episode 3.
His kind of almost crazed ex. And it's really, really massively uncomfortable. And it's a hit. Like, its ratings were climbing in an era that where ratings are just constantly declining. And you could just imagine it playing all over the world and being like, you know, a massively acclaimed show everywhere next year. And that's just awesome. So my heroes are Robin Malcolm and Diane Taylor for just willing that thing into being. And TVNZ, NZ on Air Film Commission, everyone who kind of took a deep breath and said, we're going to do this because that shit's not easy.
I have a sort of association by household to that show. And it is worth, when something really good comes along, saying it over and over again, which Spinoff has, I think, which is great, but because all those things you say are true, that it's really hard to make the argument to do something that's nuanced and interesting and adult, has a middle-aged woman lead. It's just, I've run up to episode 3, as they say.
What the
and
hell,
it's
Toby?
Like, it's the end of episode 3, so that's halfway. it's all good. Like, Peter Salmon's direction is
it's incredible, yeah.
Performances across the board, excellent. I mean, Peter Mullen is kind of amazing. Robert Malcolm is obviously unbelievably good. They're just all good. And the writer, it's just, I don't know, it's, you sort of think, whoa, we've arrived somewhere with that,
yeah,
don't we? Anyway, that's fantastic. It's a very good note to end on. Do we have anything else that people would like to say using words from their mouths about next year, about anything? I feel as though I am looking around for a way to outro this podcast. Annabelle.
Kia manawa titi tato, you know, endurance, resilience, tough times ahead, but these things can divide us or actually unite us and make us stronger as a country. And I think in Te Ao Māori we're already seeing a more united front to confronting some of the challenges that are ahead. So kia manawa titi tātou.
Thank you so much, Annabelle. It's a privilege to be on a podcast with you, and it's just lovely to be in the room with all these fantastically interesting, charming, insightful, and spirited people. Thank you very much. Happy New Year. Meri kere me te. We'll be back in 12 months, I guess.
Very slow core podcast.
Let's do the crackers. Let's open the crackers. Let's have the noise and the sound of it.
Oh, yeah.
That really summed up the year, Toby.
You haven't come up that often, do you? Here we go. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow. What do we got?
Explosives at work.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, you can smell it.
Oh, no.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.